time to feel the rush of the round table. Brought to you by Big Ass Fans. Ideal for home and business applications, including clean air system models to kill viruses. Go to bigassfans.ca.
News Talk 1010 political analyst and one of 10 people in North America that liked Zack Snyder's edit of Justice League. Scott Reed joins us.
There are 13. That's not true. There's a guy from Cincinnati, a person from Santa Cruz, California, and a guy in Cleveland. You're completely wrong.
I take that back. Marika Walsh is here as well, political reporter for the Globe and Mail and the Ottawa Bureau. Welcome, Marika.
Hi, guys.
Let's start off with this idea of a stay within your own province word of encouragement from the premier. We'll start with the prime minister. He talked on a British Columbia radio show today about the idea of borders and having provinces set their own bubbles.
Every step of the way, I've been supporting premiers and territorial leaders on what they need to do to keep people safe. That's the role of the federal government, is to be there to make these decisions easier with income supports and supports for businesses. But as we saw with the Atlantic bubble, as we saw with the Arctic territories, they make decisions around closing off their regions. That is something that we are supportive of.
And here's what the Premier had to say.
We're encouraging all residents of each province to stay at home, not to be flying into Ontario or flying out of Ontario. It's just not the time to do that. Folks, please stay at home. We're in a critical situation right now, and I just can't emphasize that enough.
Scott, is this just a case of Quebec saying in the next couple of days, perhaps, that we're going to shut things down, we're going to close our borders up a little more tight than they are right now? Or is this part of a bigger narrative when you hear these two gentlemen laying the groundwork for this?
Well, I don't know is the answer to that specific question. I do know this. If you've come to a conclusion as the premier that you need to discourage people from traveling, then just put in place a rule. I mean, I think if after a year and more of this experience, we've learned anything, it's that preventative measures after the crisis has occurred do not work. So if the premier feels the need to publicly urge people to not do this, then put in a rule that says we're not going to permit it. That would be my advice, in all honesty.
Marika, what does your gut tell you here when you hear this? I mean, obviously, there's got to be some buzz around Ottawa when you've got the Prime Minister talking about this. Premier Ford was not the only Premier talking about this and having this discussion today either.
Yeah, I'd be very surprised if the Prime Minister weighed in any meaningful way in this, just because we've seen him really take a hands-off approach on anything that he can say is provincial jurisdiction. So I would be surprised to see that change. This came up in the fall as well when John Horgan floated the idea, and it seemed to get a hard no from the other premiers, and the prime minister sort of said it's up to the provinces. So I think that this might be something that they're continuing to talk about, but as Scott says, you know, maybe the time for talking on this is over. If they're going to make a rule, just make it, because the advice has been there.
Now, that mention from the premier mentioned flying. It didn't mention driving. So maybe this technology will be into place if you do get to drive around the provinces later on this summer. It's a new mirror-based tech that can check for distracted driving. Auto parts supplier Magna has developed a rearview mirror that looks right back at you. The system integrated into your rearview mirror uses camera-based technology to monitor you. Essentially, it looks at your head, your eyes, and your body movement, detects if you are distracted. And if you're not looking at the road, it's going to alert you. An incredible annoyance, Scott? Or a safety feature we all need?
Stop it. Stop it, man. Stop it. Like, I don't want to be spied on by my own car. Come big or go home. Either build cars that drive themselves and I can sit in the back seat, scroll Insta, and talk about recipes, or let me make my own mistakes. And I'm just, you know, like, I don't want... Like, there's something literally in the notes you guys sent me. I think there's a phrase that the rear view mirror will be looking back at you.
Yeah.
No, thanks. That's too dystopian for me. I don't want it.
Marika?
Yeah, no, thank you. It just makes me so uncomfortable. I mean, of course, you do need safety, but there's a difference between something like a seatbelt that is just there and a safety feature that is monitoring you.
Sure, but if
it's monitoring me, it's also, it's going to say, Scott, We don't think you're paying sufficient attention to your left-hand mirror, and your BMI is creeping up, okay?
Yeah, it's like your onboard telling you, Scott, that you're going to have a new bistro too much.
Exactly, and there's no such thing as too much.
That's the home of the Ryan Doyle pizza log, I'll have you know, Scott Reed.
It is an eternal gross injustice that you would have something there named after you. It's just to my mind, it makes me want to burn something down.
They're delicious. You can attest to that, yes?
I can attest to that. The fact that you should have your name attached to a menu item, it's indecent.
You can check.
So which one do you want your name on?
Well, yes, I want a pizza roll.
Like Scott Reed fries.
The pizza roll was mine.
There it is. There's a Kitchener woman advocating for change in the housing market. She says she faced discrimination while looking for a rental unit. Her story is a pretty interesting one because she didn't just stop at being told no.
I reached out to the lister to set up a viewing. And I noticed that my message was opened, but I didn't receive a response.
Assuming her message was overlooked, she followed up. And again, her message was read and no reply.
At that point, something kind of shifted in my gut. So I messaged two of my friends, one white and one black, just asked them to reach out to this lister just to kind of confirm the suspicions that I had.
Within the hour, she says her white friend had received a response. Her black friend did not.
Marika, it's pretty obvious that this is wrong. The question then becomes, what do we do about it? Do we, you know, fine the living hell out of landlords who act this way in hopes that their mindset and view will change? You know, is it a case of, you know, we talked earlier in the show, if you're a female landlord, you have a house with a basement apartment in it, and you put an ad out that only suggests that females apply, is that the same level of discrimination as something like this? I think it can be a very, very tricky narrative to work at.
I think your idea of fines is an interesting one. We know this has been such a deeply rooted and longstanding problem. So just leaving it up to people to decide on their own clearly isn't working. And I think that it has a big spillover effect if you don't have good access to housing. So I think there needs to be some form of accountability that can be imposed, but it's difficult to know how, given how, you know, disorganized and sort of decentralized this system is. Everybody does their thing, so it would be more sort of policing in retrospect rather than a proactive system, I think.
Yeah, Scott, it's interesting on the other side of the coin. If you're a tenant, do you really want to live under somebody's roof who is an out-and-out racist? I made the example earlier when my wife and I moved in together in our first place. So we were dating at the time. Our landlord, he wouldn't speak to a woman in the same way he would speak to me. He refused to even deal with her about pretty much any matter in the house and asked directly to speak to me. That was one of the reasons we moved out.
And I get that, but I think that should be your call, not their call. And so my view is lay this thing out, have it out. City councils, not just in Toronto, but other places, should have big fat fights about this. They should ask the questions that you just asked. So wait a minute, right? Like when we say I'm going to specify females, is that discriminatory? Or is that justified because we want to make certain that people feel it's a safe space? If we're going to say you can't discriminate on the basis of skin color or religion, there may be other, you know, sexual orientation, then let's have that fat argument and say, what is the system we want? What are the guardrails that we want? And what do we say to people? No, sorry, if you're going to be given the privilege of renting out in our city, you're going to have to play by these rules. It shouldn't be based on what those folks think. And if the tenants don't want to play there, then that's cool. But I think that the landlord should be held to the standard.
Let's finish up.
It's also that, you know, tenants don't always have the choice, right? There's not enough rentals for tenants to even be able to have that choice. They just need a house, especially prior to the pandemic. So that choice doesn't even exist that you don't want to live there because they're racist.
Interested to see where the two of you come down on this one. We've got about 2 minutes left. When it comes to receipts, are you the type of person, Scott, that takes every single receipt, every single time, every single place that you go? Or do you not care about the receipts? How's it work for you?
Look, I roll my weed up in receipts and then smoke them, you know, like it's just, it's
CVS, Doobie.
I, I, I'm a disaster. My accountant hates me. We're now mercifully in a world where most of the time CRA will, you know, default to accepting clear evidence that you must have had the transaction. But I literally think this is an issue for CRA. You know, the people, the reason people collect receipts is because CRA insists. Yeah. If we could just say, no, here's my Visa statement, then they would go away and we might have to collect these scraps of paper that get lost.
Oh, isn't that the dream, Marika? Just take my credit card statements and just make sense of it all?
That is the dream. I just wish we could get rid of paper receipts. Like, why do I still have a pile of paper receipts? Just get it out of here.
I'm going to tell you, I think it's just more of a little bit of a power thing. I'm not even talking about the big ticket items. When you go to the LCBO and they ask you, because they do every time, would you like your receipt? I play it by ear on the mood I'm in. Some days I just, yeah, I want to be like a boss. I want, yes, I want my receipt and
no,
I want it now. Thank
you
very much.
Always no.
No, it's never.
I like to say yes. I say yes and then I flick it across the store like I'm Fonzie.
You know what? Speaking of the LCBO receipt, I don't know if you guys have noticed this lately, but they ask you to fill out a survey. And I was in a Tim Hortons lineup that was rather long recently, and we had some receipts in the car, and I was going through them, and one of them was the LCBO. So I got on my phone, and I started to do the actual survey. Let's not make it 65 questions, LCBO.
Yikes.
That's a little bit long.
Scott, Marika, thank you so much.
I'm still waiting for the email. I'm waiting for it.
tiny taster bottle of Jack Daniels. Delicious. Scott, Marika, thank you so much.